Right, welcome to the 11th edition of the Manx Footy Pod. Hello, Dave.
Hello, everyone.
Delighted to say we're joined by American
Idol.
Superstar, American Idol. Yeah. That's nice, Dave. Liam Doyle's in the studio with us today. Studio, I've upgraded it from Broom Cupboard. Well, we'll say studio. Of course, you spoke to Robbie Prescott as well after
St John's hard fought win against Peel last week.
So we've got that coming up. But yes, Liam's in the studio. We'll be talking to him in a minute. Right, I'm delighted to say we're joined by former St Mary's and St George's defender Liam Doyle today, who was playing for Harrisburg City Islanders in the American third tier last season. Welcome, Liam. Thanks for coming and joining us today on Election Day.
Yeah.
Jetting all the way in from Pennsylvania. We've got a man who's got his finger on the pulse of American politics.
We didn't pay his fuel or his effort.
No, yeah. That's a good start. The big question of the day, who have you gone for, Team Clinton or Team Trump?
I can't actually vote because I'm a permanent resident now, not a citizen. You have to be a citizen to vote. Oh, but if I was to vote, I probably wouldn't vote. Because there's no good candidates.
We were talking about it this morning. Apparently, there's more than just the two of them, isn't there? There's other.
Yeah, Gary Johnson, I think he's called. He's got like a few votes, and then like the public vote for like a few random things. But them two, obviously, it's out of them two. So
it's gonna be
interesting. I don't know who will win. It's gonna be close.
Yeah, it's gonna be close. Some of the bookmakers were offering good odds this morning, but as you say, I couldn't really call the winner. I'm hoping Clinton, but.
But you just don't know with what if they have 45 million early votes cast, and this came out before Clinton was cleared of this latest thing. So
you just don't know
how it's gonna go.
It's a good timing to get cleared. There's something going on.
Yeah. Well, enough of the seriousness. Let's talk about football. That's what we're here to do. And we'll talk about your season there. Liam, you've had a cracking season in the USL, which I think I said before is the third tier. So you've got the MLS and there's the NASL.
Yeah.
And then you've been playing in the third tier, the USL for Harrisburg City Islanders from Pennsylvania, I believe.
Yeah, there's always debate on which is the second tier out of the NASL and USL. The NASL is actually about to fold and we've stole some of their better teams.
Okay.
So.
Is it set up like the MLS in its franchise and stuff like that?
They're all independent franchises. It's the money is better there, but like we're linked to the MLS, we've got like way more teams and actually in the Open Cup, like the FA Cup, the USL was the last couple of years has outdone them. So with them, there's a lot of teams dropping out because of financial. We've stole a couple of their teams to our league, so it's like just taking over them right now, which is good as well.
The playoffs were in the last week or so for the playoff final?
Yeah, the final I think was 2 weeks ago.
So where does the team that won that, which was I think New York Red Bull 2, was it? Or something?
Yeah.
But where do they go up? Is there any promotion for them? Or?
No, there's no promotion relegation in American football yet, which isn't ideal, but they are. New York Red Bull did it like unbelievable. They were playing in the MLS playoffs last week, and I counted there were 6 or 7 players in the first team squad that were playing for the two team.
Wow.
Year.
Okay.
So literally, if you're on the fringe of the first team, or you need minutes, you come back from injury, or anything along those lines, then you'll be playing in that second team. So the second team is literally like full of first teamers.
So it's a bit like the Premier League using the under-23s system now. Yeah. Is there no restrictions though? Can you move quite freely between the two? Or?
Yeah, like for example, it was a bit like hard to take for like independent teams because one day New York Red Bull in the MLS played at 1 o'clock. The second team were playing at the same stadium at 7, and three of them were on the bench, didn't get on, and they played for the second team again that night, which is a bit.
Yeah, that is pretty hard going.
So they were using it to the best of their work because they were the best team in the league. They were the best team. They were really, really good.
But you played them. Was it Sean Wright Phillips who played for them this season?
Yeah, we played at Red Bull Arena. He played for them because, again, he needed minutes before he played in the Open Cup. He played. Gonzalo Varon played, who starts as well. There was a good few in there that played, and we lost 1-0 at Red Bull Arena. And our pitch, they battered us 5-1. Like they were just, I think they were a level up.
And what was it? Was Wright Phillips Premier League class? He's obviously played for big clubs, Chelsea, Manchester City.
I felt like you could tell he was very good. Like his movement, he was clever. Just like little turns around the corner and stuff. He didn't seem that bothered, which you can understand. He's at the end of his career, but you could tell like the class about him and. Like even just the way he talks, I wouldn't expected him to be a talker or an organizer, but he was a leader and
Did you get his shirt?
Yeah, I got his shirt. After the game, like, he shook everyone's hand, went off, and I, like, followed him down the tunnel, and he was talking to Bradley Wright Phillips as well, his brother. Then I just, like, we were talking about where we're from, and I said, can I have your shirt? And he was like, yeah, no problem. He was a nice guy.
That's great stuff.
So with that side of things, you've obviously got players of that calibre playing there occasionally. Does that bring the standard of the whole league up?
Yeah, definitely. I think if you look in, like, we played Philadelphia Union in the MLS Cup and at the US Open Cup, and at the time they were top of the MLS, and wow, we played them at their ground. I think there was 10,000 there. And they started 9 of the lads that had been playing, you know, week in, week out. And they had, I don't know if anyone's heard of him, but El Cinio played for them. He won the Europa League with Shakhtar. He's played for Brazil. And wow, just plays like that. He was, like, phenomenal.
And well, it's becoming, but American football is now becoming a viable option for players, isn't it? You've got your man at Toronto, who I've forgotten.
Giovinco, yeah.
Yeah. And he's effectively in the prime of his career. And he's chosen to move there from Serie A. Was he at Juve, I think?
At one point he was at Juve, yeah.
So, you know, players are obviously, and that's obviously going to filter down, isn't it? As you say, if you've got clubs that are linked.
So,
How is the attendance? As you mentioned, you had 10,000 at that cup game. Is it generally well attended, even in the USL?
We struggled. Home games weren't that well attended. They've struggled with it for a few years. I just don't know if there's, like, the market for football, soccer.
Yeah.
In Harrisburg, we went to play FC Cincinnati away. There was 18,000 there.
So wow.
You get 10,000, 5,000. The attendance is good. It's every year there's an increase in attendance, and a lot of children are playing there now because American football are worried with concussions and the danger. So, like, football, soccer is the kind of thing that kids are doing.
Did I notice that Harrisburg, though, you were talking about you struggled at home, but did they move? You had a few home games one place and a few home games elsewhere. Was there one in the baseball stadium or something like that?
Yeah, we played at a baseball stadium that the surface was actually really good. But obviously, there's a certain section where they cover the baseball with, like, I don't know what, just turf, they place it on it, so that was tough. But I think, like, Harrisburg, they've, like, been in the USL since it started, but traditionally punched above their weight in terms of, like, the organisation being smaller, like, less revenue, less money. And in this day and age, that stuff counts because the teams with the bigger budgets are, like, they can go out, obviously they can pay more wages, they can get more perks for the team. And I think, like, the league is growing so fast in Harrisburg with the smaller budget and stuff. And it's not to say it's anyone's fault, but I think they need to grow as well with the league. But it's a good club. There's a lot of good players there, and their motto is they move people on to better opportunities if it's there, and that's great from them to do that.
Well, you played 28 games this season?
Including Cup, I played 33, I think.
Wow, so you've gone pretty much straight in. Because you were a little bit later joining the club, but you didn't have a full pre-season with them, obviously, which we'll talk a bit about in a minute. But you've gone in and almost made that centre-half position your own, haven't you?
Yeah, I mean, like, obviously, I went through the college season, so I was training hard. It started from, like, training hard for MIFA, then I went with Dicko, like, I'd say 3 or 4 times a week. I was one-on-one with Dicko working hard. Then I went into the college season, had a good year. Then I was preparing for the draft, the combine. So I think it was, like, 15 months I didn't stop.
Wow.
And I definitely felt that towards the end of the season, just even, like, mentally and physically, because the travel, the weather, because obviously the country is massive. So just everything, like, took its toll. And at the end, it was like, yeah, I need a break.
So what's your average week like when you were playing in that? Is it, do you train every day? Is it, and then is the rest of the time your own, or are you involved with coaching, or is it, what's the sort of, how's your week go?
It, depending on how many games you had, we would train every day, but obviously, say you play on a Saturday, you'll be off Sunday, and Monday would be light. So we'd train 10 till 12, and you just, like, chill out a bit in the afternoon, maybe go to the gym. A lot of us played some golf, and then in the afternoon, even, I would coach for their academy and local clubs in the area.
They seem very community driven, but definitely. I suppose that works two ways. If they can engage with the community, they'll come and watch you.
Definitely. And, like, so one of their things is, I said, like, smaller organization, the money's not great, but they provide you with, like, good coaching as well. So obviously, you can make, with soccer on the rise, and soccer's kind of like an upper class sport there, and parents pay a lot, so you can make good money coaching. There's good opportunities, and ultimately I can only play for so long, and that's what I want to do when I finish. So I'm thinking, coach as much as I can, get as much experience and move on with that as well at the same time.
Well, let's go back 10 months then to last January, where it all began with the draft. Everyone over here was glued to their screens watching it. And what was it like for you to go through that process?
Like, looking back, it was like, before it and during it was great. And like, I had a good combine. I was like super prepared, as I said, with like Dicko. Like, I worked with Ben Carlin, like trained with St. George's. Everyone knows how hard they train. And like, I was so prepared. I had a good combine. I scored 2 in 1 game. But you start to realize after it, like, what it actually is. So, for example, being international, every team only has 6 or 7 spots. So, like, cutting out of that a bit, I'd like to go in there again on a green card just to see where I'd went. Because I was... So, you're waiting at the screen, and there's people going before me who are in my league that I know I'm better than.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I'm taking up an international spot there. So, that was really stressful, and I didn't go in the super draft. And then I'm thinking, oh, it's 3 days till the...
Yeah.
And I was, like, worrying. It was, like... tough, you know, you're waiting anxiously for the next one. Then I finally went, and that was a bit of relief because now I have a chance. But looking back, unless you're a generation Adidas contract, which is guaranteed, or a senior contract, which is like 3 or 4, it's a glorified trial, really.
Yeah,
that's what it is. It's typically American to the way it's ran, if that makes sense.
Because we were following it. I mean, prior to that, we were... And obviously the world of Twitter is brilliant these days. You were being heavily tipped. You were being, you know, maybe not the first or second round picks, but there were a lot of people were saying you were going to go early doors. As I think it was Matthew Doyle, MLS analyst, he was saying, you know, you're one to watch. You'd had a good combine.
Yeah.
So you start making you doubt yourself, or
yeah, I didn't go till late in the thing, and I was looking at it, there's players coming up, as I said, like in my league, played against, obviously you know who's going and who's available, and I was thinking, I'm not gonna go here.
Yeah.
And I eventually went, and I was like, right, now I have a chance. But like, the media around it and stuff was phenomenal. Like, everyone's based in like this 5-star hotel down in Florida, like where you're on a team, you have your combine team, like all the MLS staff are in there. So like one day I'm in the lift going down, like Vieira's in the lift, like Vieira and Nestor are watching your games because Nestor's a manager out there too. So the hype around it is so like big. But if you think about this, like, no one had played since November before the draft. So everyone's training hard for it, but anyone will tell you there's nothing like a game.
Yeah.
So then you're playing on a team of 11 with no one you've ever played with. You've come from training in Isle of Man or Ohio or wherever, where it's freezing at Christmas, and then Florida's humid, it's hot. So it's just like everything like that added up like that for everyone. It's just a bit of, I don't know, it's just like a spectacle more than like the right thing. I think they need to change it where the clubs can go out and get kind of who they want and who the players want to go to as well.
I remember reading an article at the time that said that apart from American football, the draft system is almost becoming a bit antiquated in American sport, because a lot of the MLS teams, as you've mentioned, are now developing youth pathways and academy structures. So if you are a decent player in America, chances are, if you haven't come into the college system like yourself, that you'll have already been picked up, you know. And they're saying that the college system is still, as it finds the quite a few gems still, but it's not the be all and end all.
Yeah, I think like what the college system's good for, because like that's one of the reasons you go with, like, say, like me, Jack, Connor, Anthony, Alex. It's obviously, we're going to talk about this a bit later too, but it's hard to get to England being on the Isle of Man, or it was back then. That's probably the second best thing to do, because the standard in college, especially at the top end, is really good. And like them academy players you talked about, like, say, for example, New York Red Bulls might say, right, we really like this guy, he's in our youth system, but you're not quite ready yet, so go off to this good university, play a year or two, and then we'll take it from there. So that it's great for that. Like, obviously, Jordan Morris did 2 years there, and now he's killing it.
Jack Harrison's he seems to be playing well, but he was a former Man City youth player as well.
I think City and United, and then he went to boarding school in America when he was 15.
So you would recommend it for potential
absolutely football? I think anyone that has any interest in playing football at the next level, not even football at the next level, wants to just play a good level where the facilities are unbelievable. You're treated like a pro day in, day out. So you travel the country, you get a good education at the same time, and then you have a chance. Ultimately, you put yourself in a window. It's down to you to a certain extent as well, but you put yourself in a window where you have a chance.
And would you say that's something we're lacking on a whole over here, is opportunities for young footballers?
Yeah, I'd say, I talk about it all the time with me, Jack, Alex, and just other people. Like, if I look to the FA, I just think, the people at the top of the FA, say, take our senior team, for example. Like, since the steam packet, what are we playing in, or what are we doing? I think, the Island Games is obviously good, but it's once every 2 years. Mm-hmm. The Umbro Cup, the Guinness Cup it was called, I don't even know if they play in that anymore. I just think there needs to be more, because if you have a good senior team, and if the young kids see them playing, it's something to aspire to. And I just think the generation from Johnny Myers, Morrissey, Frank Jones, Bella, P, the Peel lads down to Jack and Connor, I think they've been deprived of opportunity. And even it's never kind of too late. They're coming back, and what you're playing, the NLS Cup, okay, the England thing's great, but the Isle of Man are way better than that standard thing. And I just look to the people in the FA and I'd think, what's your vision, or where are you taking it next? Because it just seems to just stay the same.
What would you do then?
Yeah, what would it be? Yeah.
I don't know if I have all the answers, to be honest, but if you look at now, fair play to Hurty, Rick, he's got Rick Holden and John alongside him, and they're getting Everton over, Leeds over. That's a step in the right direction. But then you even hear that the FA are trying to stop that or get in the way. For me, I think you've got to have Rick involved, John involved, who they are involved in the senior game. You've got to have Lee Dixon has to be in there. People like Andy Lodge, people that have contacts away, have proven that they are football people. Get them in the youth system all the way up, and just get what better advert could you have for the Isle of Man than having a successful national team?
So would you go down the Jersey route? Jersey, this week we're meant to be having another visit from UEFA. The original application was knocked back, and they've gone trying to go through the Court of Arbitration, which I believe Gibraltar did back in the day. They've got another visit this week from UEFA, supposedly, but again, this is, I think I've just heard today, that's been postponed. Would you say that's the route we need to go down to UEFA?
I think it's definitely, you should have a go, why not? I think, we're...
The financial commitment is massive, though,
But for me, there's a lot of money on the Isle of Man, and I don't know how to go and get this amount of money, but I just think we could try more. Look at Malcolm Blackburn, for example, everyone has the different things with Malcolm, but all he's tried to do is give us better opportunities. And anyone that went to Sweden will tell you, arguably the best thing they've ever played in, the best experience of their life. And he just always gets knocked down. Mm-hmm. It just gets knocked down or knocked back. You hear stuff the standard wasn't that great. I tell you, I've played obviously in a few places, and the standard was absolutely brilliant. But that, stuff like that, we should go to stuff like that and then try and take it further. It just seems to me that we're happy with our connection with the English FA, and we're just happy doing this and that here and there. We need a vision and something to go forward, and it might take a while or something, but I just think we've been doing the same things for too long, and we need something else to aim for.
Did you think, I mean, you talk about strengthening links with England and things like that. Further down the line for yourself, having a career in America, would you try and strengthen links somehow between America and the Isle of Man?
Absolutely. While I'm home, I'm going to go into schools and talk about America and trying to get kids on board, linking up with an agency that I went through to try and get kids over to America. And schools have contacted me, Brian Callow is going to have me and Frank Jones go and coach his under 10 teams and just talk to them. Obviously, Frank's Isle of Man captain, trying to put back in. But and then, I heard the FA haven't asked me to go and do anything on their part. Just things like that. I think, you've got Jack here, Alex, Connor's obviously not here now. Mm. We should be using their experiences and what they've done to push it further. We're knocking walls down, and then hopefully they're open for kids better, because I know there's kids away at clubs now that are doing well. There's a certain kid who's, there's Premier League clubs after.
Mm-hmm.
and he's away all the time doing well, and then you hear he's 13 playing in the under 15s, and if he plays, his team can't get any points. Just stuff like that. You know?
Yeah. Come on. Yeah. I think we talked about it briefly with the when we had Paul Bryson and Lewis Quattrino at the under 18s before the FA County Youth Cup match. And the point I made was football's not everyone's. It used to be the premier sport, I would say. I think now there's so much more competition. Yeah. Would you agree? I think the pathways that are maybe open in other sports, so maybe people think, oh, right, well, I could be the next Mark Cavendish. Or, oh,
absolutely.
Or even there's probably, we could name about three or four rugby players now that are playing in England.
Definitely. But I think, like you talk about the rugby there in the English leagues, which is another would be another step in the right direction. You can still keep what you have, but let's try and get other people away. Say the young lad made it in the Premiership, then that again opens the door for other players, and like Cavendish, Kenyuk, they're world class, and now it's cycling. They're thinking, I'm looking at the Isle of Man and thinking there's talent there.
Yeah.
So we'll take it from there.
And it's probably a reference point you could use in America. I mean, where are you from? The Isle of Man, the TT, Mark Cavendish, isn't it?
Yeah,
they know about the actual
owner of my club was big into cycling. His wife's favourite sports person was Mark Cavendish.
Probably. I think personally, we know you've made it, Liam, because you're now on Wikipedia. You have a Wikipedia page, and probably more important.
Absolutely more important.
You're on the new Football Manager game. Did you know about this till we...
No, I do play a bit of Football Manager. I haven't got this season's one, but yeah, it's pretty...
Well, we've got the stat screen grab of your attributes, as any good Football Manager manager will tell you. I think they're fairly accurate. There's a couple of things. So, free kick taken, 12. You usually bag a few in the top bin with your trusty left peg, don't you, Liam? So.
Yeah, it didn't really take many last season, so that's probably what they were watching from, yeah. Maybe fair.
Heading, 12, that's probably... You're always pretty salmon-like in the air, weren't you?
Yeah, one thing, you know when you play FIFA or Football Manager, you like say you go a team in League 2, like they're never quick or they can't shoot. I mean, just because you're in a lower league, you can still do all this.
What was your long throws? They've only given you one.
Yeah, they must know I've had shoulder problems in the past, so I don't take throw-ins.
So what don't you agree with of those stats? What stands out?
I agree with...
If I was a Football Manager, looking at signing you, you've got a lot of potential, a lot of nines. That always used to come up on my radar as a player. I could bring to it.
Nurture.
Let's
have a look.
Pace, 9.
Probably passing an 8. I'm disappointed with that. It's probably, I'd say, my best attribute, so I'd like that to be the top one.
It does say you're banned for the US Cup here. What's happened there?
Yeah, that must have been someone's playing the game and I got banned, because I'm definitely not banned.
But yeah, it shows you how widespread this game is now, because I say a load up of American save and you are there to be signed for the princely sum of £92,000. Do you think that's fair value?
No, definitely not. It's way too high.
That's just your weekly wage, come on.
You're not the only one. Obviously, the game came out last week. It's been out and available on Better for a couple of weeks before that. Danny Hatsley, did you play with in the under 18s?
Yeah, we played together. He was my age, so we grew up playing against each other.
He's obviously altering him on the game. Niall Cummins, who played in the FA Cup this weekend. Did you see that? The result for that game, Dave? They drew. He plays for Curzon Ashton, who are in the National League North, I think. They drew 1-1 with Westfields, who were the lowest ranked team in the competition, ninth tier Westfields. They've got a replay on Monday. If they win that, they've got AFC Wimbledon in the next round. So Niall will be looking for that in the second, nice, juicy second round tie there. Who else did we find out? Rowan Richardson's on it as a free agent. Tom Carroll, a free agent. So you can have a pretty decent...
get a match 11.
Yeah,
I think, which brings us on to our Twitter questions, I believe.
It does. Nice. You're getting good at this, Dave.
I'm learning from the best, mate.
Right, this week's Twitter questions. We've had a host, as always. Josh Thomas, former St Mary's colleague.
Yeah, good friend of mine, Josh.
Yeah, he's having a bit of a good season, really, in centre of midfield for Old Boys. You tell him he's always been a frustrated central midfielder, but he's been pushed out wide the other week. But yeah... He asks, this is a tough question, this. Best 11 you've watched or played with over here. So you can't put Sean Wright Phillips in it.
Yeah, that is a tough question because I watched a lot when I was younger, but this doesn't make any sense formation-wise, but I have thought about it since I've seen it. So I go with Max Thomas in net.
Right, okay.
Played with Max a lot. I go with 3 at the back. I go with, for me, Julian Ringham has to be in there. 8 out of 10 every week. Alex Harrison, and I'd have just played Johnny Myers back there. Like, when I was growing up, Johnny was, like, unbelievable. He's still obviously good now, but he was probably the best I've seen over here when he was on song. Then I'd go with Jack McVeigh, Connor Doyle, Frank Jones, Chris Higgins in midfield. Like, Higgy was phenomenal to when I was growing up. And then I'd go with Langy, Steedo, and I'll say Pekka or Callum, but I'll go with Pekka. Callum's not going to be happy.
That's a very Conte-esque system, that.
He's going to be 3-4-3.
The scholar of the game. Rich Froden, who's he's listening, even though he's in the other side of the world. He's, I'm a big fan of Rich's constant questions. He's asking Langy or Steedo. That's a very good question.
Good partnership. I mean, this is a tough question. I'd say for a few years when I played at St. Mary's, Steedo was like phenomenal. Some of the goals he scored. And
it's just a goal scorer, isn't he?
And his pace, and he was phenomenal. Langy, obviously, unbelievable as well. Goals. Can I sit on the fence?
45 minutes each.
I'll go Langy. I'll take the stick back.
Okay.
So, Alex Harrison, a former guest on the pod, he's asked how much commitment and sacrifice is needed to get to the next level.
I mean, it is a lot. I think, like, everyone will know when I left the Isle of Man, like, I was not in good shape fitness-wise or physically, and had 2 years at an okay level in Cincinnati where I got fit again, and Ohio State, I took it on again. But as I said, like, preparing for the combine and, like, even just training with Geordie's, Dicko, I think you sacrifice a lot. Like, obviously, I don't drink too much anymore.
Might change this weekend.
You have to watch your eating, and just, I think if you're going to do it, you have to invest everything into it. And I think I have done that, and I need to continue to do that. So there is a lot of commitment. You have to, I mean, you can still go out and drink, obviously, but it's just, you have to pick and choose, I guess, now, and just put that football first.
I suppose that it's so, say, when you're 30 years down the line, you can't reflect and go, well, I didn't give that my best shot. It's all about giving you yourself the best opportunity, isn't it? By putting yourself in the best shape. Frank Jones, you've mentioned you've put in your dream 11. Will you play in the Ireland Games next year if selected?
Yeah, I could have played a year ago and I wasn't. No, I won't, because, well, I'm never saying there is a possibility, small possibility, but it's during the season. I'm all the way in America. I mean, that's what my main focus will be. So I doubt it. Nick actually spoke to me about it on Saturday, and obviously I'm probably going to be busy. So
yeah, that's fair enough.
We've got Connor Doyle has tweeted, who's the most likely not to return from Benidorm this weekend? But for anyone who doesn't know, it's Frank Jones' stack day this weekend, I believe.
And I believe half the Manx Football League are going with you, so it could be could be some odd results this weekend.
I'd say Mr. Morrissey is favourite.
He might be nipping over the straits to Gibraltar. Realise his international dream. Joe Andrews, a podcast regular, favourite question asker, I would say. Which would you rather drive, a Reliant Robin or an American school bus, and why?
Reliant Robin, I mean, only fools and horses, you know. Grew up watching that, still like that. So definitely that.
It's good to see you sticking to your roots.
Right. Well, a bit of a tricky question for you, because you're obviously American now. But
I always forget this, Dave. Good job you're here. Yeah.
What is your favourite Chinese takeaway in the island? Or should we branch out
you
to America?
You can branch out if there's one in Harrisburg you particularly recommend.
It's better. On the Isle of Man is definitely better. Go to Williston a lot. Being to Paul Rose, that's good too. I go with Williston, we go there a lot. Because Alex lives up there, and we go there and have one at Williston, so I go with Williston.
Is that the third vote for Williston?
Yeah, Williston's probably leading on the...
Maybe you need to get... Sponsor you guys, they do get
that's what we're going for.
Bangos are health drive. Right, before we look ahead to Saturday's games, well, we've got Liam in the podcast bring cover. You spoke to Robbie Prescott on Saturday, a very happy Robbie Prescott, I would say.
He was, I mean, St John's claimed all 3 points in the Western Derby against Peel. It was a tough game, a bit of controversy. Peel goalkeeper Kirill Velev was sent off, but it was a good game to watch and a deserved 3 points, I think.
So let's hear what Robbie had to say at a windy Station Fields on Saturday afternoon.
Congratulations, Robbie. That was an impressive win, but it was hard fought in the end, wasn't it? It's very hard. It's always hard against Peel. I mean, I think we deserve to go in maybe 1-0 at half time, but we were 2-0 up. Second half, we came out, battled away. They went down to 10 men and kind of lost our way a little bit. We started kicking the ball and we got back in. Well, like the goalkeeper deserved to get sent off, to be honest. I mean, it was a straight red, and that was it. But the penalty, I mean, once you want to hit a ball so hard and it just hits someone in the arm, I mean, it's the one half it doesn't get for me.
And then going back to the first half, I mean, it was a very tight game, and Peel saw plenty of the ball, but you took your chances and you punished them when they were lax at the back, didn't you?
Yeah, well, we've still got three or four players still missing, to be honest. I mean, at the end, young Sam came on till he's 16. You know? We've only got a very small squad, so you've got to set them up to make them hard to beat, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And if we get our chances, we get our chances, which we did in the first half.
And who stood out for you there on your team?
I think all of them,
yeah.
To be honest. I mean, they all battled away, and they all got stuck in, and they did the job. I mean, again, going back middle of the second half, I mean, we could have controlled them, played a lot more football than we did, but 3 points, and that's a derby win for us.
You can't take that away, can you? But it was gritty at the end, wasn't it? I mean, the Peel had quite a few chances towards the end. They had plenty of the ball, but you stuck to it, and everyone pulled together, didn't they?
Yeah, I mean, I came to St. John's. I didn't know what to expect, to be honest. I mean, but the lads are just, they're outstanding, to be honest. I mean, they just dig in, and we are a hard team to beat.
Yeah, absolutely. What do you make of your season so far?
Very good. I mean, pity we missed out on Railway Cup. I mean, we would have beat all boys and what have you, but I mean, it's just a lack of players, basically. We have to play kids, and that's it.
And there seems to be a good feeling amongst the squad, though.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, morale is brilliant. Like, I mean, we'll play anybody. I mean, I think it's the start of December when I start getting most of my players back, and we'll go from there. We'll hopefully get a good cup run.
Fantastic. All
right. Right, welcome back. We've got Liam Doyle in the podcast Broom Cupboard with us today. Before he jets off again to Benidorm, but only for a few days, we should have a look at this week's football with him and Saturday afternoon's games. Your old club, St Mary's, probably topping the billing in the Premier League this weekend with a game against their old boys.
Yeah, I'd say that's going to be a tight one. It was earlier on. I'd go for St Mary's by one goal, I don't. It might be 2-1, 1-0. I'll just go for St Mary's.
You're going to this game, Dave, because St Mary's had to battle hard, a last-minute penalty
against
to beat
Douglas
Athletic.
Stigio got both the goals. I mean, Douglas Athletic are a good side, but this is going to be a very tough game. I think if St Mary's bring their A game, they should get the better of Old Boys, but Old Boys on their day. I mean, they thrashed Russian a couple of weeks ago.
5-1, I was at that game. Their counter-attacking was a thing of beauty that day. You'd have to say St Mary's will have to be careful not to leave themselves too exposed at the back, but they have arguably got the best centre-half partnership in the league at the moment.
Exactly.
With Carl and Alex. Alex, well. Is Alex away this weekend? Is he?
Yeah, he is.
Oh.
But, Martin King and Josh Thomas are away too, so it's kind of like fair.
Yeah. You think they would have got it postponed for international call-ups, wouldn't you? But there you go.
Not on the ball anymore.
So, that game I think is going to be a close one. I think you should be in for a good afternoon, especially if a couple of the bigger names are missing.
Yeah, it gives a few of the other players a chance to shine.
Old Boys Combi's been going well this year, so they should have an up strength and depth there. So, we could see a little bit of a shock here, couldn't we?
Could be, yeah. Should be good.
Down south, there's no bigger game in Port Erin, really, other than Russian Peel. Peel struggling a bit this season, has to be said. I don't know how much you're seeing in America, Liam, but they've already lost four,
I'm surprised. I mean, Peel obviously been right there the last few years. They got a good squad. I don't know if it's commitment or what, but I think with the Railway Cup coming up, I think they're going to start getting, you know, their results together and be very dangerous in that. So, and Russian have had a few defeats.
They drew in. I've described it in today's wonderfully Pride 90p priced examiner that it was one of the games of the season I watched against on Saturday. That was Laxian Russian. Both teams had countless chances to score. There was goal line clearances, unbelievable goalkeeping.
Andy Ball
was certainly on the ball. Dean Cairns had a good game as well. It was a tremendous game of football. But Russian, you will feel probably felt that was 2 points dropped because they won the reverse fixture 6-0. Laxey, obviously, I'm no disrespect to Laxey, they played very well on Saturday, but the way that Russian were knocking on the door in the second half, they would feel that's 2 points dropped. And maybe not the ideal preparation to be going into an Old Firm derby with Peel.
No, but I think, again, form sort of goes out the window with derbies. I know it's an old football cliche, but it does.
Well, it did on Saturday, didn't it, really? Yeah. St John's raised their game.
And as Colin Law at Peel said, that's what St John's always seem to do. But Peel are missing a few players as well. There's still no word on when Josh Kelly's coming back. And word has it that Lee Gale is not going to play this season now. He's now fully involved in mountain biking. We'll have more on that in the paper in the next few weeks. But cool. He returned for the Combi on Saturday and scored no fewer than 6 goals.
But that was a rare outing, do you believe? Didn't
it? Yes, I think football is very much on the back burner now. So.
Well, he's been selected for the Island Games at mountain biking. So he's obviously that's going to be his priority till Gotland next summer, I would say. So he'll be a big loss, but Ash Webster, he seems to be he scored again at the weekend, didn't he?
He got a penalty. He had a life of the game. Obviously, he didn't quite score a worldie like he did the week before.
Have you seen that goal, Liam?
Yeah, that's quality. Ash is really good, and not surprised he scored a goal like that.
Yeah. What I enjoyed about that clip the most was the lack of celebration from the Peel players. Like, oh, it's just Ash scoring a world class goal,
yeah,
as
yeah,
you always
do. Does it every week? Yeah.
But yeah, so that should be a good game down at the Croy. I'm sure the Wailing Wall will be in full voice, giving Peel some stick. I'm going to sit on the fence. I'm going to go for a draw.
I think Peel might just sneak that.
Liam.
I think Peel, yeah, just Peel.
Corinthians, the celebrations are probably still going on. It's Bella Fletcher. They sealed their first Railway Cup spot in 36 years on Saturday with a comprehensive win over Union Mills. They welcome Laxey this week. Laxey are no mugs, let's put it that way. So it should be a bit of a tougher game from this Saturday. Corinthians, I suppose, they just need to keep in form ahead of the Cup semis that start next month, wouldn't you say, Liam?
Yeah, definitely. I think Corinthians... at home, good young team. They're obviously happy with the Railway Cup. I think they'll just edge it. It'll be close, but they'll just edge it.
The Corinthians are starting to realise their potential a bit now. We talked about it when we had Sean and Josh in. They both said the same thing. They've always been a team that have said, oh, they've got potential, but now they're beginning to realise some of that, haven't they?
They've got a good blend in that squad of youth and experience. They've got a lot of lively players there, and I think they're just playing well, and as a team, they're a good unit, and I think they'll do well, and I fancy them to nick that.
And actually, we believe Sean Kelly's now jetted off to Japan, so he's
huge.
Literally a huge player for Laxey. They've got some good young kids coming out through though, and they'll be both boosted by Matty Skillicorn returned from injury at the weekend.
Came off the bench, I believe.
He came off the bench, hit the post, looked lively. His pace is just unbelievable. So he could pose some problems for Corinthians, but going on current form, we're all going to go for a home win, I would say.
Yeah.
Fourth game on the we'll have a look at is Union Mills Douglas Athletic now potentially. Six-pointer, we'd probably call this, wouldn't we?
We would. More poignant for Mills now after last week.
Yeah, poor old Mills with docked 3 points and then had 3 points they'd already won earlier in the season taken off them because they've got to replay their game against Colby for fielding an eligible player in that game against Colby. Athletic, they're on 8, are they now, or a bit? Something like
yeah,
that,
they're
we would say about 12 as you're pretty much nailed on.
Yeah, the thing is, we know Mills like the Great Escape, don't we? So we can never wipe them off.
They don't really start the engine until after Christmas, do they?
Well, they feel like it.
So I'm actually going to go up to Gary Moore, so it'll be blowing an absolute hoolie and the rain will be coming sideways for this one. So that is a bit of a leveller up there, isn't it, Liam?
Yeah, well, I was at St Mary's Douglas Athletic and they did well. I mean, they deserve something from the game, and I think I haven't seen Mills play this season, so I'm going to go for Douglas Athletic.
Away win, Dave?
Yeah, I think so too. Yeah. Just touching on the points deduction, I suppose you don't get many points deductions and things like that in America,
do you? No, because they take things... they get points taken off them, did they?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, they fielded two ineligible players against Colby in the first game of the season, which they won 1-0. And they were hit with a 3-point penalty for doing that, and then they have had to replay the game at a later date, which means they've lost the 3 points they won in that game as well. So effectively, they've been docked 6 points.
So it's throwing them right back in the relegation zone.
So they're now second bottom. So they need to pick some points up. As you say before, their trademark second half revival.
Yeah.
But I fancy Mills for this. They're going to be wound up. So I'm going to go for a home win. Air, who sit below Colby, who sit below Mills and the table, on at minus 3 points now because they were hit with 3 point deduction last week as well for fielding an ineligible player. It's all the rage in the Isle of Man, ineligible players, William.
No paperwork getting done.
That's it. So they're on minus three. 118 goals conceded now in 13.
Yeah, they conceded 11 against Geordies last week.
They played Colby this week, though, so this should be a lot closer. And potentially first points of the season.
Yeah, possibly. Colby are a bit of a hit and miss side. They've got some good players, but I just don't think they're completely together as a team sometimes. So, yeah, I think they'll have to work hard to get the points from this game.
So, yeah, Eric's going up there, so there'll be a report on next week's examiner. For those of you who can't be asked going to Andrews, let's be honest. Right. In the last game in the Premier League this week, St John's Ramsey. St John's riding the crest of a wave after that derby win, you would say.
Yeah, you'd have to fancy them for all 3 points here. As Robbie said in that interview, he's happy with how the season's gone. They're only just outside the top four on goal difference, so yeah, all signs point to a Saints win.
That's a very good point. From second or third to eighth, there's only 3 points, isn't it?
Yeah, it's all up for grabs.
It's very tight this season, which it would have been a nice season to play in, I would say, Liam, because everyone's taken points off each other.
It's good for the league, and it's good to see, you know, St Mary's back up there challenging St George's. Peel will be dangerous in the cups as well. It's good to see.
Good to see. Right, Division 2. I don't know how much you follow this when you're in America. Big clash. I've gone for this as a top clash in Division 2. You might correct me now, Dave. Pulley versus Castletown.
No, I would say this is. Castletown are the new leaders now after Braddon's game was abandoned last week. Best wishes to James Brown, by the way.
Yes, James, yeah. I hope you're back between the sticks fairly soon. I believe he took a bit of a knock to his head, concussion, and a bit of a stay in hospital. But touching wood, touching this fine mahogany table we've got here, he'll be back playing for James soon enough. But yes, Pulley, Castletown have taken advantage to go top, as you said.
Yeah, I mean, it was a narrow win. Nathan Cool scored the winner against UT last week. But it came at a cost because Alex Crawley was sent off. He'll be out now for this game, well, for a few games. Big loss to the team, but Pulley are a good side, so this could be a really tough game. I wouldn't be surprised if it was a draw.
Pulley's 9 goals they scored last week against Dublin, isn't it?
Yes.
We class them as a team that, again, maybe not ever realised their potential because they've always had some good players for right.
Yeah, I remember when I was younger, they'd be like Peel in the cup when I played for St Mary's there in the second division, like Dave Skill, and then it'd always be a hard game.
And then we got to the cup final, didn't they, 1 year? Yeah. In 2006, so I think Lexi beat them to.
Never know, could cause an upset then.
Yeah.
Talking of upsets, Onken, they're still stringing the results together, aren't they?
Yeah, Rhys has got them flying.
They're playing Douglas Royal this week, which another one of the promotion contenders, has to be said.
Yeah, again, there's not much to choose between these two teams at all. Royal, they know how to score goals, simple as. And yeah, Onken are playing really well. This one could go either way, but home advantage may just swing it to the O's.
I think I'm going to go the other way. I think Royal will just are a bit Aussie Oddilus Tottenham here. They score more than you, pretty much.
Yeah.
They do have Paul Whitley, Craig Dolman, even Chris Anderson's been playing fullback for them and spanking them for 30 yards. So he's they've got goals all over the pitch. To run out another cliche.
They've got 9 at the weekend again. So they're just
They should be. I think it was 5-2, 6-2 against Mullin, wasn't it, I think? They're full of goals. Oh, I think they might just edge this. Although, everyone I've spoken to, we had the Braddon boys in last week, they said On can work hard, didn't they?
They do. They're one of the toughest opponents in the league at the moment.
Jim's Moran. Jim's, as we say, obviously be someone in goal different this week after James's head injury. But Moran. Now, we should talk about Moran. They pulled off the result of the weekend, arguably last week, beating Foxtel 4-3.
Yeah, huge result. And again, it's helped Castletown and it will help Braddon as well at the top of the table. I think Moran have really coming up on the rails now. They've got some good form going. You'd fancy them to win this game as well. Jims are a little bit hit and miss. So, yeah, I'll go for an away win.
And Jim's should be perhaps higher than they are at the moment, do you think, Liam? They've got pretty much the same squad that went down a couple of seasons ago.
That's what I was going to say. Especially at home, it was always a tough game at Jim's. So, yeah, expect them to start pushing on.
Youthy, another one of the recently relegated sides. They have the interesting gauntlet of Braddon this week. Braddon, it was 1-1 when the game was abandoned last week.
Yeah, right? After 70 minutes. Obviously, Braddon had dropped points in the last two games prior to that as well. So he'll just be keen to get back out there and play and to get back to winning ways, because it's been a few frustrating few weeks for them, I think.
You think you've been inconsistent this year, has to be
said. Very much so, yeah.
But they pushed Castellón all the way last Saturday, by all accounts, on Saturday.
By Hattie's report, yeah, they had a good game. But as he termed it in his report, they're in danger of being cut adrift now from the top of the table. So if they're to be there in the top four, I think they really need to get a result out of this game.
Or if it went 70 minutes, then the result counts. How long
I think
is it?
I think it might be 75.
Oh, okay.
Right. But I'm not 100% sure.
Yeah, we haven't heard about that yet. So.
Feel free to tweet us in if you know the answer to that. The bottom side, Malou. Now, this week they've decided to withdraw their combi side.
It's a shame.
Yes, but I think it gives them opportunity to focus on their first team. They've got Douglaston District this week. D&D, another slightly Jekyll and Hyde team, aren't they? They could potentially get some points out of this that would haul them off the bottom.
I think so. Like Ayr in the first division, I think this is a chance for the bottom side to get the first points of the season. Malou, sooner or later it'll turn around for them. I think, as you touched on then, the fact that the combi's folded, hopefully it'll pull the first team together. Everyone can join in and hopefully push on up and regroup for next season. D&D, though, they've had a good season so far, and I think they're well on course to get their best points tally, so this could be a good day for them.
I saw a tweet from Douglas Royal manager Aaron Quinn last week. He said the scoreline flattered Royal a little bit. He said Millie would have given them a good game, so yeah. The potential's obviously there. And that's a couple of combination teams that have folded now. Liam, do you think that there is a struggle to get people out on a Saturday these days?
Yeah. Well, going back to the FA, I think we're ticking boxes with like Vets football and maybe other stuff, but it's hurting the league quite clearly. Like, maybe up the age and get people back playing this, but I mean, we can't afford to keep losing combi teams. It's not good for local football, I guess.
Well, we had a couple of weeks ago, I had in Paul and John Callow from Laxeter. Paul's combi manager at Laxeter, and John's obviously, he's playing a bit of combi football this season. And I said, is there still a place for combination football over here? Or should we be now encouraging more clubs just to have a first team, maybe slightly restructure the league? What would you say to that, Liam?
Yeah, there should definitely be a place for combination. When I was 16, I'd be like on the bench for St Mary's, and then Lange was like at the end of his career, so we'd be playing with him in the Junior Cup. Like, even Brian Crellin was in that team. Now Brian's arguably one of the best players on the island when he's playing. It's hard to just go straight into maybe a top team. You do need combination, but it might have been more competitive a few years ago than it is now. So if we can get the competitiveness back in, it's definitely useful, yeah.
Yeah, and that's, to be honest, you've echoed the sentiments of what the boys said when they came in. You know, if you take away 11 places, you've got a frustrated kid that may go and take up another sport. Final game of the day in Division 2, Foxdale Michael. A bit of a Western derby. Quite a lot of players that have transferred from Michael to Foxdale will be facing their old club this week.
Absolutely. Foxdale will be looking to bounce back after that shock defeat last week. Michael is still struggling a little bit, but added spice with it being a derby, so it should be quite feisty, but I do think Foxdale will win this.
We seem to bring this up every week. Michael only scored the one league goal. Michael Corlett going down. He's got that golden boot.
Yeah.
Club's golden boot pretty much sewn up at the moment, isn't he?
Yeah, he's got his name written on it at the Mitre at the end of the season.
We joke, but it must be playing on the Mitre. Have you gone in a team where you haven't scored for?
No, I mean, I don't know. Again, Kurt, Michael used to be a tough game down there. I don't know what's going on. It's just, I guess, people move. It's easy to move, but, and I hope they can get a few goals. It's not good for anyone, is it? They can't score, it's no fun. But
They could add to Foxdale's misery.
This could be the time tide changes. But it has to be said, I'm looking out the window, it's raining.
Yep.
And this game is at Foxdale. So
Billy Moat,
this could be the first postponement of the season, which is quite a fact in itself at Foxdale. Yeah. So we'll have to wait and see. Liam, thanks for coming in.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Congratulations on the move.
Yeah, congratulations on the marriage as well. We haven't seen him since.
Married man now.
Settling down in Kansas. I'm sure there's a film in that somewhere.
Somewhere.
Right, don't forget you can tweet us throughout the week anytime at Manx Footy Blog. Liam's an avid tweeter. He follows us. He's one of the 1900 plus we've got now.
How have we done that?
I don't know. You can also subscribe to the podcast anytime on iTunes. Just search Manx Football, click on there, and it will just drop down into your iTunes library every week when we get round to doing it.
Yep.
And of course, we're on Audioboom. Just go to audioboom.com/channel/Manx Football. Right, that's it for this week. As I say, thanks for coming all this way, Liam, just to have a chat with us.
Dedication.
I don't know if we're going to end next week, don't you?
Well, we're open to suggestions.
Maybe see who comes back from Benidorm.
Get Mr. Jones in after his stag dinner. Yeah.
We don't have any voice left, really.
He's be speaking more sense than normal.
All right.
Until then, ta-ta.
See ya.